It's difficult to mistake Wagner for anyone else. The size of the orchestra, the enormous brass and string sections are one giveaway. Another is the sheer grandeur. Opera is not a modest art form, but Wagner is in a class by himself. But what you just heard is not the Ride of the Valkyries. The stately nature of the music establishes the tempo for the entire evening to come. We're in no hurry, so sit back and enjoy the show. That opening minute of Die Meistersinger von Nuremberg is the musical theme of the Meistersingers, the accomplished guild of amateur singers who made medieval Nuremberg a centre for German music, and who formed the subject for Wagner's 10th opera. My name is Sir Andrew Davis. I'm the music director of Lyric Opera of Chicago, and I'd like to speak to you about Die Meistersinger, Wagner's only mature comedy. The excerpts you will hear are from an EMI Classics recording featuring Ferdinand Franz as Hans Sachs, Gottlob Frick as Waidpogner, Gerhard Unger as David, Elisabeth Grümer as Eva, Marga Höfgen as Magdalena, and Rudolf Schock as Walter von Stolzing. Rudolf Kemper conducts the Berlin Philharmonic and the choruses of the Städtische Oper Berlin, the Berlin Staatsoper, and St. Hedwig's Cathedral. Special thanks to EMI Classics for providing the recording and to Nicholas Ivor Martin for his help in preparing this commentary. If Die Meistersinger is prototypical of Wagner's output, it is also in some way the most deceptive opera in his canon. Wagner was midway through the composition of The Ring when he shifted his focus to a story about medieval Germany. His most recent composition had been Tristan and Isolde, its prelude filled with such revolutionary chromaticism that all musical Europe sat up and took notice. Marches in 4-4 time were a thing of the past. The future was the Tristan chord with its unresolved dissonances breaking the most basic rules of classical composition. If you composed music after 1865, it didn't matter whether you liked Tristan or hated it. You could not avoid being measured against the new German master composer. Richard Strauss, Anton Bruckner, Engelbert Humperdinck, and later Arnold Schoenberg and Alban Berg all cited his influence. But so too did César Franck, Jules Massenet, and Hector Berlioz. Verdi's later operas show Wagnerian ideas too. Mahler captured the importance of Richard Wagner when he proclaimed that there was only Beethoven and Richard, and after them nobody. Wagner was so important, Mahler felt it was not even necessary to say which Richard he was talking about. And yet, after Tristan, Wagner wrote Die Meistersinger. It was a comedy following a string of tragedies. True, the composer's second opera, Das Liebesverbot, was a comedy based on Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, but after its disastrous opening, Wagner abandoned it. It was never again performed in the composer's lifetime and has rarely been done since. Meistersinger was a largely original story after 9 operas based on pre-existing works of fiction. It's based on a historical subject. Of his previous operas, only Wagner's third opera, Rienzi, The Last of the Tribunes, had a historical setting, medieval Rome. The Meistersinger Guild of Nuremberg really existed, with Hans Sachs the cobbler its most famous member. If Meistersinger appears to be at first dramaturgically unconnected to the rest of Wagner's output, the explanation lies in another area of the composer's professional life. Wagner wrote 13 operas, but his prose writings seem endless. His autobiography, begun around the same time he was composing Die Meistersinger, runs to more than 900 pages. Somewhere between 10 and 12,000 of his letters have survived. Most of his prose compositions are about art and music. Wagner composed opera and he wrote about composing opera. In choosing a subject on which he could wax poetic about artistic form and musical training, the composer was indulging two of his passions at once. Perhaps three, if you count his somewhat unappealing devotion to self-justification. Act One opens in St. Catherine's Church in Nuremberg. This is a real church, though it is now in ruins, having been destroyed during World War II. Originally part of a Catholic Dominican convent, after the Reformation, in the 17th and 18th centuries, the church housed the Nuremberg Meistersinger Guild. A church service is in progress, attended by Eva Pogner, daughter of the town goldsmith Waidpogner, Eva's maid Magdalena, and Walter von Stolzing, a young knight who is a stranger in town. Walter is Franconian, so he is not, by modern standards, a foreigner. Nuremberg is the largest city in Franconia. This latter point is interesting because it underscores one theme that runs through all of Wagner's works, an interest in German origins and pan-German culture. There was a reason the Nazis were attracted to Wagner beyond love of his music. Siegfried, Tannhäuser, Parsifal, Tristan, Wagner's heroes are all drawn from Germanic and Nordic myth. Walter is less interested in the religious observance just ending than in Eva's availability. He awkwardly asks if she is married, while Eva and Magdalena distractedly search for all the personal items Eva has misplaced during the service. In fact, Eva is about to be married. She just doesn't know to whom. Her father is not only a goldsmith, but also a master singer, and he has promised to whoever wins the upcoming singing competition. Competitions in German sagas tended to prefer military prowess to artistic excellence. In the 1983 Richard Burton film about Wagner's life, the young composer is mortified when, during the 1848 Dresden uprising, he challenges a Prussian cavalry officer, only to be told contemptuously, "I do not fight musicians." But the Nuremberg Meistersingers Guild was an important historical and cultural institution. In Germany in the 12th century, the troubadours of the Middle Ages evolved into so-called minnesingers from the German word minne, meaning love. They were the German parallel to the French troubadours, who were inventing and promoting courtly love for Eleanor of Aquitaine. The Renaissance and the corresponding rise of an artisan middle class transformed these minnesingers into Meistersingers, literally master singers, organized guilds who composed ballads, poems, and a cappella songs according to complex rules of form and composition. The guilds were modeled quite intentionally after the craft guilds of the tailors, cobblers, and other skilled artisans, some of whom themselves trained and became Meistersingers. Many poets of the time were members of these guilds, and one of them, Wolfram von Eschenbach, wrote the epic Parsifal, on which Wagner based his final opera. Wagner's hero, Walter, is an inspired, if untrained, musician, and Eva introduces him to David, the apprentice of Meistersinger Hans Sachs. If David can teach Walter the Meistersinger rules, Walter can apply for membership, which would in turn allow him to compete for Eva's hand. Unfortunately, the rules only confuse Walter. When the masters gather in the church, Pogner lays out his promise of Eva's hand to the victor in the singing competition. Hans Sachs is the luminary of the group, but in Wagner's formulation he is also a humanitarian, a man of the people, and something of a revolutionary. He suggests that perhaps Eva should choose her own husband. Pogner agrees that she can veto the winner, but insists that she will only marry a Meistersinger. Sachs then moves to let the people of the town, rather than the guild, serve as the judges for the singing competition. The masters soundly reject his proposal. Pogner introduces Walter, who asks to be allowed to apply for membership in the guild by singing a song. Strangely, the opera's libretto treats this application as a normal process. The Masters Guild was a highly stratified organization, practicing a complex and structured art. The real Meistersingers would have found the idea that an untrained outsider could be instantly promoted to master singer as ridiculous as that one could learn to make shoes or smith gold without formal training. Why, after all, would David be wasting his time as an apprentice if instant acceptance were a real possibility? The instant Meistersinger is, however, critical to the polemical premise at the heart of Wagner's opera. The talented revolutionary can best the trained professional. In fact, he's destined to do so. In spite of his enthusiasm for Hans Sachs, Wagner portrays the Masters Guild as the musical establishment of his own time, which he struggled so mightily to supplant. Wagner, the artist, is Walter, a self-creating musical Siegfried. Remember, Siegfried becomes a man when he manages to fashion a sword that defeats the trained smith Alberich. While the masters may agree to let Walter apply, that does not mean that they intend to be pushed aside without a fight. As Walter sings his song, Beckmesser, the guild's appointed marker or judge, chalks up Walter's transgressions against the guild's rules of composition. Walter's mistakes are too many, and the act ends with everyone speaking at once. Walter tries to finish his song while Pogner and Zax defend him, and the other masters angrily reject the young knight's application. When it comes to gossip, Nuremberg is a small town, and as Act Two unfolds, the news of Walter's failure is spreading. Zax's apprentice, David, tells Eva's maid, Magdalena. Magdalena tells Eva, who goes to Zax to confirm the rumour. Zax himself has been haunted by Walter's song, which appears to follow no rules and yet is perfect. This is high praise, particularly given the source. Hans Zax was a real person, a shoemaker who became the guiding light of the Nuremberg Meistersingers Guild in the 16th century. This history, which Wagner's German audiences would have known, makes Zax perfect for Wagner's purpose. As the leading figure in the Nuremberg Guild, it is his opinion that matters. Portraying Zax's fellow masters as pedants without artistic vision requires no very great juggling of history. Equally important is the fact that while Zax was both a poet and a musician, his fame rests primarily on his many poems and dramas. It was he who praised Martin Luther in a poem as the Nightingale of Wittenberg. Zax never published his songs, although many of them were later compiled by one of his pupils. Zax confirms to Eva that the Guild has rejected Walter's application. This leaves only the Marker Sixtus Beckmesser as a possible victor in the coming competition, a thought that horrifies Eva, since she may have to marry the winner. Beckmesser is repugnant to her. She tries to coax Zax into entering the competition himself, but the older man is too wise to be so easily flattered. Act Two ends with the most famous riot in all of opera. Eva and Walter meet in the street and decide to elope. When Beckmesser appears to serenade Eva, the couple hides in the shadows. Beckmesser is really serenading Eva's maid, Magdalena, but he doesn't know that. Beckmesser's song is continually interrupted by Zax, who is hammering on new shoes that Beckmesser himself has ordered. When Beckmesser asks Zax to stop, the cobbler reminds him that that very morning he publicly complained about the shoes not being ready. They work out a compromise, in which Zax will act as marker on Beckmesser's song, hammering only when he makes a mistake.
Will heut mir das Herz hüpfen, der Mann und Fräulein jung. Doch tät der Vater knüpfen, daran ein Bedingung. Für den, der ihn beerben will und auch beerben, sein Kind. Zunft ein bitterer Meister, wohl sein Tochter erlebt. Doch zugleich auch beweist er, was er auf die Kunst gibt. Zum Preise muss es bringen, im Meister singen. Wer sein Eidam will sein, nun gilt es Kunst, das mit Verkunst unallschädlich gemeinen Dunst im Glücke des Preises gewunst. Wer begehrt mit wahrer Inbrunst, um die Jungfrau zu freien, sei die Not fertig.
Zax has finished the shoes, but David now enters the picture. Magdalena is David's girlfriend. Seeing Beckmesser serenading her, David attacks him. The noise awakens the whole town and everyone is drawn into the confusion. Act 3 opens in Zax's workshop, where the master worries how to contain all the conflicts. Zax's behaviour the night before was an attempt to prevent Eva and Walter from eloping, but he overshot the mark and caused a riot. Today, at the competition, he intends to harness the madness. He teaches Walter to moderate his gift according to the spirit of the master's rules, and together they work on Walter's new prize song. Zax writes down the words of the first two verses, but Walter has not completed the third. Arriving at the shop, Beckmesser sees the verses and accuses Zax of intending to enter the competition. Zax assures him he has no such intention and lets him have the verses for his own prize song, knowing that Beckmesser will not be up to the task of fitting them to music. Beckmesser's song is, of course, a failure. This is not the first snag in the road for him. He has been contradicted by Zax throughout the opera. Eva wants no part of him. He was attacked by David in the second act. And now he's laughed at by the entire town. We know Beckmesser is a pedant, but Wagner clearly takes a personal joy in humiliating him. Was there a model for Beckmesser? Wagner was a man only too willing to talk about his art, and his own explanation is compelling. In his autobiography, Wagner recalls a public reading of the Meistersinger libretto at which the critic Eduard Hanslick caused a scene when he realized that Beckmesser was a parody of himself. Hanslick didn't know that in a previous draft the character had been named not Sixtus Beckmesser, but Veit Hanslich. While this is a plausible explanation for Wagner's motivation, his storytelling skills were as usual better than his reporting skills. Hanslick himself wrote about the reading of the libretto. He fails to mention seeing any connection between himself and Beckmesser, and he subsequently praised the opera. Additionally, Wagner's original sketch for Meistersinger predates his relationship with Hanslick. Whether or not Beckmesser was modelled on a particular person, the explanation of Beckmesser as music critic personified appears fully to explain Wagner's antipathy. He did not take criticism well. Nor does Beckmesser. Furious at the derisive reception of the crowd, Beckmesser stupidly accuses Zax of tricking him into using the verses. Zax defends himself by explaining that the words are no trick. Properly set, they can be a beautiful song. As proof, Zax presents Walter, who thus gets the opportunity to sing his song for the judges.
Das Paradies in himmlisch neu verkletter Pracht. Helfe mir nach dahin.
As you can hear, Walter's audience is so overcome that they can't even wait for him to finish the third verse before awarding him the prize. Walter is simultaneously named the newest member of the Guild of Meistersingers and awarded first prize in the competition. Eva is thrilled to follow her father's dictum that she marry the winner. But that's not the end of the opera. Die Meistersinger is about love, but even more, it's about art. Sax sings an aria praising the German Meisters, and his theme is picked up by all the people of Nuremberg, who sing in praise of holy German art.